There are a growing number of people who transition from one gender to the other only to regret it and then to try to reverse the process. Why aren't we hearing their stories? For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Well, here's a fun fact. The word taboo came to the English language from natives on what is now the nation of Tonga. Believe it or not, when British explorer James Cook first visited the remote island, he noticed that certain things, in particular certain foods, were strictly off limits. When he asked why, they replied these things were taboo, which meant consecrated, inviolable, forbidden, unclean, or cursed. Now, in English parlance today, we tend to use the word taboo as a figure of speech or a hyperbole. We don't think of whatever's being referred to as literally being consecrated, inviolable, uncleaned, and cursed. Or do we? A recent article in Canada's National Post identified something it called the new taboo. It's off limits to even talk about the increasing number of people who, having undergone gender reassignment surgery, now not only regret the decision, they want to reverse the procedure. 5 years ago, Dr. Miroslav Georgievic, described in the article as the world's leading genital reconstructive surgeon, met a patient who'd undergone the male-to-female surgery at another clinic, but now wanted it reversed. What turned out to be only the first of many stories Georgievic would hear about crippling levels of depression following the transition, and in some cases, even contemplated suicide. He told the National Post, "It can be a real disaster to hear these stories." Well, why then are these disaster stories so rarely heard? Because they are taboo. The very same article told readers about allegations that Bath Spa University in England turned down an application for research on gender reassignment reversal because the project was deemed potentially politically incorrect, or perhaps a more accurate word would be the one chosen by the National Post. Taboo. Recently on Breakpoint, I told you about a stunning piece in the New York Times written by a man planning to have gender reassignment surgery. In it, he not only admitted the surgery would not make him happier, he admitted that the very prospect of the surgery made him more depressed and suicidal. Now, the author deserves our pity, but the decision to run that article without even questioning what on earth was going on is the very definition of something being taboo. Questioning the sacredness and inviolability of the desire to transition invites the digital equivalent of the wrath of gods that ancient Polynesians feared for violating taboos. Well, that's all hyperbole, you say. Well, is it? Because there's many more examples, like the July-August issue of the left-to-center publication The Atlantic Monthly. It contained an article that merely counseled caution in treating young children who claimed to be transgender. Now, it didn't matter that the author, Jesse Single, was on solid scientific ground to urge caution. It didn't matter that a 2013 study found that two-thirds of pubescent children who experienced gender dysphoria no longer have those same feelings 5 years later. Single and The Atlantic violated the taboo, and they were digitally stoned for it. In fact, this cultural taboo is so strong it can cost parents custody of their children. Recently, a Christian family in Ohio lost custody of their 17-year-old son because he wanted to begin hormone therapy. A family court awarded custody to the child's grandparents because they were more amenable to his desires. Instead of asking the more obvious question, well, can't we just wait a year and not do anything drastic until he's 18 and doesn't need parental permission? The judge removed a minor from his home. See, that's taboo in action. All who interfere with one's desires to transition these days are simply considered cursed. Meanwhile, victim stories go unheard. For more on this issue and other issues that have to do with our faith in today's culture, come to our website, breakpoint.org. That's breakpoint.org. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.